All right, good evening, good to see all of y'all here. I don't think this one's working. Okay, just leave this one here. Good to have visitors with us, good to have visiting missionary family, the LePage family. Glad they're with us, missionaries to Bellwick, Guernsey. Good to have you folks with us, thank you for stopping in. There was an accident yesterday on the road, down the road here, and they hit a pole or something, and our telephones have been out. So if you've been trying to call the church, they're supposed to come tomorrow and fix them there. So if you need, just call the cell there. The phones are out. They're supposed to be here in the morning by 9, get them back up and running there. It was good to have a good crowd in our Bible clubs today. Some little kids brought me a card they made and said to Pastor, "Hi Pastor, you're doing a great job. Keep it up." See all them dum-dums on the front, don't you? They're reminding me. I hadn't got my dum-dums back up. I had other candies out last week. And so I guess I better get to Walmart and buy some dum-dums. But I do thank you for that, kids. We had a good time in the youth zone. We played a game at the end there, stacking the solo cups by timer, and the loser was supposed to get one of these here bean bamboozled or whatever it is here, the things that has dog food tasting jelly beans, rotten egg, all kind of stuff, grass. All kind of stuff. Well, Haley was the winner. She had the highest score. And Lavinia, did I say it correctly that time? Still not fast enough? I'll get to that story in a minute. I'll tell you this. So, she was last. So I was going to use it as a biblical teaching point because there is a principle in the Word of God that talks about someone being first, someone being last. And the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Well, Haley Mann was having none of it. She said that wasn't going to happen because she won, and the race was the fastest. And so I said, okay, since she don't want to have the grace that's needed, I will have grace. And I challenged Lavinia. If I say your name wrong, because you know she's visiting from Italy, she's an exchange student, just came with us. If I mispronounce your name, because I've been trying to find something in my mind would remind me, and I tried Pennsylvania, Transylvania, and it always makes me say it wrong. Well, I said it right, almost, she said, but I have to say it faster. So I lost. And I had to take one of these beans, and lo and behold, once again, I got canned dog food. That is the nastiest thing. But Victor Resto challenged me that said, anytime, where'd he go? He's hiding. Anytime and every time he gets this game, it's always a good one. So come on, Victor. Let's see if you get you a good one. I'll even put two up here, and you can take your choice.
He said he never fails, he gets a good one, whichever one you want. No. Yeah. Judah.
Good one. It was bad, but not that bad. Let me see which one that was. Molded cheese. That's what that was. So, good to have you folks here. So that's what your kids are learning. If I try to take a game and do a biblical principle, and they wasn't having it, so I was going to have grace. You know what it says? There is a principle there, right? Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I tried to do right by a visitor, canned dog food. Oof. All right, Matthew chapter 10, if you would, Matthew 10. Boy, we had a good time this weekend with Brother Sturgill here with Seedline South, and we had a really, really good offering. Over $6,000 was taken up this weekend for printing paper during the year, so we'll be able to print many John and Romans and New Testaments right here on the church property. So praise God for that. Thank you, folks, for being involved. Good to see Brother Corwin here. Glad that he's out of the hospital. Sister Ellen got out last weekend, and glad folks are finally getting out of the hospital. There's still some sick, and so be in prayer for them. Congratulations to the Venters on a new grandbaby. All right, we're going to talk about two apostles tonight. We've been studying through the apostles, and we're on James the Less and Judas and Thaddeus. So we're going to look at two tonight. Normally we've been doing one or half of one and then pick it back up on Wednesday, but this is, you'll see why as we get into it. So we're going to look at both of these tonight, James the Less and Judas Thaddeus. All right. We're going to study their backgrounds a little bit and see if we can find some things in the Bible that will help us. What did I tell you? Matthew 10 and verse number 2. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Look over in Mark 3 and 16. Mark chapter 3 and verse 16. Mark chapter 3 and verse number 16. The Lord names them again here. It says here in verse 16 of Mark chapter number 3. And Simon, who he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boninus, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, and Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into an house. Look over in verse chapter 15 of the book of Mark. Chapter 15 and verse 40. Chapter 15 and verse number 40. Mark 15, 40, the Bible says there were also women looking on afar off. This was at Calvary, Golgotha, and they were looking afar off. Among them was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Joseph and Salome there. So that's the information, basically, that we have of these two. We don't have much about the lives of James and Judas. For some reason, God chose to reveal much more about other of his disciples and apostles that he called, and reveal less about others, actually very, very little that we know about these two. But there is something we can learn from looking at the lives of these two there as we do look in it and see. Now, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 4, James was known as the Less. Now, you know, James is Jacob in the Hebrew language, and so when they say James the Less, because years and years ago, I don't believe, as far as my knowledge goes and what I've read and understood, they didn't have last names. What last names? They would have designations, you know, like Jesus of what? That's where, well, there was many other Jesuses, that's why. Jesus of Nazareth. Matthew was the son of Alphaeus, and so was one of these, you know, was son of Alphaeus, another Alphaeus there. So James the Less, and so he's there, you know, that's what they call him, and it distinguished him from one place to another, you know, like the Sometimes it was the parents, John, and then John, the brother of James. And so it was kind of known like that. Remember, I told you the story. For years, I was not known as Lane, Kim's husband. I was known as Bobby's son-in-law, my father-in-law. That's how they call me, or that's Kim's husband. It was like, hey, I am here. I have a name. Been married 15 years. But it was, you know, that's how they designated me. And so that's what we have going on here. You know, as James's surname in the Greek is mikros. And it's generally speaking of small, but it also can be short and maybe younger of age. And it can be maybe of low of rank, you know. So he had that James or less, as he was called. And so it was the small, whether he was short in stature, whether he was younger of all the apostles, you know, there's not much giving here about it in the scripture, but, you know, as we trace through it and look through here and see it, perhaps he was the younger. He did have a brother, you know, that we'll look at here in a minute in the scripture, so maybe he was the younger brother. I'm not sure. Maybe, you know, he had, you know, he was just the lowest, maybe it was the last one called, you know, as Jesus began to call. But any reason, for some reason, the Bible records it is there, James the Less, and he's there. Look in Matthew 10, and verse number 3 again. You'll see his father's name as it's mentioned, Matthew 10. verse 3, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus. So you have his father's name mentioned there. Look in Mark 15:40 again, and you'll see. Well, you don't need to look. I already read that. His mother's name was Mary. But look in Matthew 27. Matthew 27 and verse number 56. Matthew 27, verse number 56. Says, among which was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, there, and the mother of Zebedee's children, there. So you have Mary, his mother's name, Mary. Many of the mothers were ministered or followed and, you know, spent time with the Lord Jesus, cared for him during his earthly, you know, tenure here on earth and ministered to him in a physical way, fixing meals and things of that nature there. So it's no wonder that some of these were called, but maybe sort of by the influence of who got them around the Lord Jesus Christ. So mothers, do your best. Keep Jesus uplifted. Keep them around. Keep the name of Jesus uplifted and around in the home and make a good examples of you know, servants for the Lord Jesus Christ in front of them. As you see here, many of these were called, and many of those women ministered to the Lord during those difficult times. Verses in Mark chapter number 15, verse 40 and 41, you'll notice there again, Mark 15, verse 41 and 40 and 41. I read 40, but I'll read 41 to you. Verse 40, 15, 40 in the book of Mark. There were also women looking afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and Joseph and Salma, and who also, this is what it says, verse 41, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. You know, other than these facts, which we just went over and looked at and began to, you know, surface out and ferret out of the Word of God, we don't know anything else about James the Less. None of his actions, none of his words are recorded in Scripture. You know, what's the purpose? Well, I'm going to get to that. It's just a thought, and if you'll bear with me. But let's look a little bit at some of the smaller facts of Judas the Thaddeus, and then we'll look at these together at what I think Jesus was trying to show us here. Now, could I be wrong? Absolutely, I could be wrong. But I believe there's a principle, there's something we can glean from this. Over there, you know, so James and Thaddeus. Now, this is actually, this is Judas, who actually had two names, Judas and Labius. If you would, go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Verse 16. The Bible says there in verse 16, and then Judas, the brother of James. Judas, the brother of James. So there, and then Matthew chapter 10, verse 3. Matthew chapter 10, verse 3. A little bit more information here. Matthew 10, 3. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus. Now, Labius, if you look up the meaning of that name, Labius means man of heart, man of heart. If you look up the meaning of Thaddeus, Thaddeus means large-hearted or courageous. So you look into the names there and see what they're meaning, and you know, why would they call that? You know, Judas was probably known for, you know, maybe his parents, or maybe it was really like that in his life. He was known for his courage and maybe his passion. You know, that's Labius, you know, a man of heart. He's got a lot of courage, you know. Judas or Thaddeus, you know, he's larger. Maybe he's very generous, you know. For some reason, though, he had these names. These were attached to him like that. He had a brother, you know, a family member there, Luke 6:16. He had a brother that was named there in that. If you look over in John chapter 14, John chapter 14, we have actually one statement that was made by Thaddeus or Judas or Labius. It's all the same one. John chapter 14 and verse number 22. John 14 and verse number 22. The scripture says there, and Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, so there's a distinction. We know this is Thaddeus and Labius, or Judas. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Well, if you know the context of this passage, scripture from verses 15 to verses 29, Jesus is telling them, listen, I've got to leave, I must go away, and if I go away, I'll send the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter will come to you. And in doing so, he makes a statement there that says, I'm going to reveal myself, it will be revealed to you. And here's this thought, well, why are you going to reveal it to us and us alone? And not to the world there. And he offers this question there. If you look in verse number 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and I will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is mine. But the Father which sent me, these things have I spoken unto you, that being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and I come again unto you. If ye loved me, and ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. there. So Jesus answers this question and shows him. Perhaps the question came about because, like some of the other apostles, wanted a political reign. They were looking for a political, how is he going to be ruler over Jerusalem? How is he going to be king if he don't even reveal himself as king? Well, it wasn't that time yet. He's coming back. You remember in Acts where they are standing around, he's ascending up to heaven, and the Word of God says, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye around here gazing? This same Jesus, which ye call up, is going away. He's coming again." And so he's going to be revealed again unto us. And you know, the main point here Jesus is trying to get them to understand is what? Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Guard my commandments. Make my word personal to you there. So that's the only written statement we have down in the Word of God from Judas. So here in the next 5 minutes, so we can get the bus back on the road, I'm going to try to give you my thought why the Lord would call 12 men and these last two. He gives virtually no information. I kind of just no information whatsoever. And here is what I want you to get, what I got from it, and I hope it's a blessing to you. Everyone is important to Jesus. He didn't have to record a whole book about Judas and about, what's the other one, James the Less. He didn't have to record a whole book. He didn't have to use them to write a chapter, write a book. I mean, after all, John never mentioned himself. He's the writer of the Gospel of John, never mentioned himself one time. Perhaps these two got the principle. First shall be last, and last shall be first. They said, all I want is Jesus to increase. All I want is Jesus to increase. I think it's the perspective of things. I think it's how we look at things. Have you ever laid down on the ground, perhaps somewhere, around buildings? You know, I don't want y'all to go downtown Orlando and lay down. But if you lay down, you know, like an ant looking up, you lay down looking upwards, everything looks big, doesn't it? I mean, you go downtown Orlando and lay down. We don't even have skyscrapers down there. But if you go downtown, got down there, in the middle of Orange Avenue, around that big old circle, and found you a park bench and kind of slipped over a little bit, really, you know, real discreet light, and you just look up, everything would look big. But if you get in an airplane, 10,000 feet up in the air, and you look down, those same things that look big look small. It's what we value. We look, well, there's a whole lot said about Peter. Man, he must have been really important. There's a whole bunch said about, about Matthew. Matthew got to write a whole big old book. Matthew must have been real important. See, that's how we look at things. The value. You remember the nation of Israel back in the Old Testament when everybody else had a king and they wanted a king? They found one, didn't they? It was head and shoulders above all. I mean, he was it, the one they wanted, handsome. Wasn't one God chose, was it? They chose Saul. Saul got them in all kinds of trouble, and God rejected Saul. He allowed them to do what they're going to do, and they got him a key, got Saul, and he was off hiding somewhere, chickened out, they had to go find him, drug him out. Then all of a sudden, here come the prophet after Saul being rejected, looking for another one, and not even David's own father brought him out of the field. Look, this is my oldest son. Boy, he's good. This is it. Prophet went down by down by down by down. See, God's looking down. And we're all small in God's eyes. We're all small in God's eyes. We look up. That's where man worship comes from. Because we look up. Paul said it best, follow me as I follow Christ. As long as I'm going in the right directions, let's go together. Let's keep going towards Jesus. I mean, run as fast as you can towards God. If somebody's going along with you, stop, introduce yourself for a moment, keep going toward God. I mean, keep headed on. For instance, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse number 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Now, after Paul begins, you know, discussing how God's wisdom seems foolish to the world, listen to what he begins to write. 1 Corinthians 1, 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. And listen why. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And it was all said and done when God had called all, you know, all the apostles, he called them out, he started naming them. And these are the 12 apostles. He didn't say these are the 10. These are the 12. You know what he did with the 12? He sent them first in the church. He didn't say, I didn't hear much from you. No. He was still recognized as God's child, God's called, God's set apart, God's apostle. Listen, it's not the problem that we don't get a full biography on every person in the Bible. We should never read the Bible just to get facts, by the way. That's not the purpose of reading God's Word, is to find facts. I'm a pastor. I mean, every apostle we looked at where they was from, who their mom was, who they did the Bible. But we put it out there. Why did we do that? It wasn't so. I didn't want you running around downtown being able to tell everybody whose father was Thaddeus. I want you to have a relationship with God. The reason we read Scripture, we hunger and thirst after righteousness, because we need to have a relationship with God. This book, the whole thing, points to God. And I think what God is saying to us right now, in all of obscurity, and all of... Nobody might not think you're something, you know, you don't, maybe in your own mind you don't amount to something different. If you are God's child, you were bought with the same precious blood as Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Now, in all of God's work, in all of God's saving, and all the Christians that's been born again throughout time, we only know about a handful of them, don't we? How many of you know who Charles Haddon Spurgeon is? Tell me who shared the gospel with Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Where was it at? We know very little, don't we? We forget about that, but all he did was share the gospel with Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Who is he? If he hadn't have been bold and preached the gospel, Charles Haddon Spurgeon would never have been. See, it's not who we deem is important. All of us are important in God's eyes. And so as I've studied out the apostles, and I looked through here, and I got the ones, you know, Lord, why? You didn't say much about these guys. You sent them out two by two. Wouldn't it have been amazing if we get to heaven and God says, yeah, and I sent James and Thaddeus. James, Les, and Thaddeus, I sent them off together by themselves. And this is what they did. It wasn't important that the world knew. It wasn't important that the other apostles knew. What was important, I believe, to these two men, which God kept them recorded in His Word to show us this, was that it's all about God. It's all about God. We got to get to the point where it's not about us. It's not about who we are or our image. Because Our image should not matter because we are predestined by the Word of God that we are to be conformed as God's children into the image of Christ. So quit worrying about your image and worry about how Jesus is looking to others through you. Father, we love you. We thank you for this night. We pray, God, you bless the bus driver. Keep them safe as they get the kids home. Thank you, Lord, for those that are here. We appreciate the missionary stopping in with us. Bless him. Him and his family as they travel. Give them safety. Give them the support they need and the opportunities to present their work as they go about their way. Thank you, Lord, for your love, for your mercy, for the Word of God that we can study, we can grow thereby. And God, we give you the glory once again for the offering which was taken for paper this past Sunday. We just ask, God, that it would be used for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.